Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
I am Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Thanks so much for joining us this week. So my motivational quote is by Andrew Carnegie, and he says, 90% of all millionaires became so through owning real estate. Who knows someone who is doing some form of real estate investing, flipping houses, anything like that? I bet you all do. So, and of course, it's thanks to HGTV. There are shows like Flipper Flop, Property Brothers, and my all-time favorite, Fixer Upper, with, of course, Chip and Joanna Gaines. Do you have shiplat in your house? Okay. So this is just a really hot topic, and I think we're in a hot market. So during the next half hour, my guests and I are going to discuss how he makes money in real estate, specifically through distressed mortgages and notes. And I know some of you are saying, well, what does that mean? Stay tuned as we dig in and discuss how you may be the next real estate investor and how to make money. So my guest is known as, this is very cool, the Note Guy, and has been an active real estate investor since 2002. He has solely focused on distressed mortgages and the note industry since 2008, where he buys and sells non-performing mortgages directly from banks and hedge funds on properties all across the country. Now, my guest is the CEO of WeCloseNotes.com. It's an Austin, Texas-based real estate firm. Now, he's purchased over $500 million in distressed debt for his own portfolio and purchases assets in over 30 states across the U.S., which is kind of cool. He also helps thousands of other real estate investors make money along the way. Now, he's a highly sought-after speaker on distressed debt, marketing, and raising private capital, and he has also been featured in Investor's Business Daily, The Wall Street Journal, and Inc.com, and he hosts a popular podcast called The Note Closers Show, which is kind of cool. So please help me welcome Scott Carson, a.k.a. The Note Guy, to the show. So, Scott, thanks for being on.
Hey, I am so honored to be on the show. Just absolutely love your stuff. Everybody better go out and subscribe and leave five-star reviews for her. She's rocking it out here. Absolutely love your show.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. So now this is just a really big topic. I don't care who you talk to. I went to a doctor last year, you know, for a checkup, and he and I were chatting, and he and his son were flipping houses. I'm like, you're a doctor. Why are you flipping houses? It's a great means of investing beyond the typical, the SEC, the stock market, right? So what, first let's start, I think, because people in my intro are probably saying, what the heck is a note and all of this? So what is note investing and how do you think it relates to the listeners, everybody listening today?
That's a really good question. And I think it's always the best place to start with. So everybody out there is in the note game, whether they believe it or not. If you've got a mortgage, a car payment, student loans, credit card debt, an IOU, you're in the note game. You're just on the wrong side of the payment stream. Okay, you're paying out. So a note, basically what we buy, is it's a mortgage. It's a mortgage on either a residential or commercial property, primarily a first lien position that we're buying. And so we buy this debt from banks and hedge funds, and we're buying it on non-performing mortgages. And the next question is, well, why would I want to invest in a non-performing mortgage where somebody's not paying on time? And the reality of that is that banks and hedge funds have hundreds, if not thousands, of these notes where people aren't paying their mortgage on time. And we can often buy that debt at substantial discount, well below what the borrower owes, becoming the bank, and then being able to turn around and reach out to the homeowners and negotiate. It's like, I'll give you an example. Like if you're going to buy at Sam's, you can buy in bulk pretty relatively cheap versus, you know, a huge box of toilet paper versus like four rolls from your local Walmart, right? It's kind of like that. We go and buy a portfolio of notes at a big discount. They're not paying. We can then turn around and reach out to the homeowners, say, listen, I know you went through some sort of country western song, whether you're, you know, you got laid off, you got sick, your grandma got run over by a reindeer, whatever it might be. Let's work something out. And the fact that we bought it at a discount, I mean, they still owe the full amount, but it gives us the flexibility to really create a win-win situation, not only for us, but also for the borrowers. And so we like to say instead of going out and fixing, flipping homes or rehabbing homes, we like to rehab the borrower and try to keep them in the house if we can.
So, Scott, how does that work? So I'm defaulting on my mortgage, whatever that means, right, like you said. And you reach out to me and say, hey, listen, I bought your note. Now, you let's say I owe $300,000 on that note. You bought it for $200,000?
It could be. It just depends on the value of the property. So let's use some similar numbers. Let's say your house, you owe $300,000. Maybe your house is only worth $250,000 because the market dropped, or you've been out of work for a while, so you've got a year of payments behind you. You know, we usually buy around 50 cents of as is value or less if we can. So let's say in this situation, we bought the note at say $125,000, and I mean you still owe $300,000, but the fact that we bought it at a discount gives us a lot of flexibility. So hey, Connie, I know the bank. Let's say it's a Bank of America, whatever, and say, hey, you haven't paid in 2 years. I know the bank wanted you to come to the table with a full 2 years of payments, which most people don't have. They can't afford that.
Of course.
So we'll say, listen, can you start paying your existing payment on time? Yes. Okay, great. Can you bring a little bit of skin in the game to the table? Can you bring 4 months or like $5,000 to the table over the next 6 to 12 months? And most people can in some sort of fashion. It's like, okay, great. Let's get you started. Because if you think about this, if your interest rate is at 6% and we bought that note for 50 cents of value and you start paying on time, that's almost it's actually over a 12% cash and cash return to us, right?
Sure.
And then our biggest goal is get you paying on time for 12 months. We now got 12 months of cash flow coming and you've now are a reperforming note. You've come through a dark time and been able to get back on your feet, and 12 months is a good payment history at that point. We can now take that mortgage and either sell it back to Wall Street or sell it to another investor for a nice increase in the price. So if we bought it at 50 cents of value, we may be able to turn around and sell that note at 80 to 85 cents of value or more to another hedge fund. So we made 12 months of payments. We got a little bit of skin on the front end to keep you in the property. We bought it at 50, we sell it at 85, but oftentimes we'll modify the loan. So as the borrower, we'll drop what you owe. If you say owed $50,000 more than what the property's worth, we'll readjust your value or what you owe and forgive you $30,000-$40,000 on the payment, because it's something we're not going to be able to collect on anyway, because your house may never get back to that point again. Does that make sense, Connie, a little bit?
It does. And so Bank of America is now out of the picture. You are, in fact, the bank.
Exactly. Now, I shouldn't have said Bank of America, but
whoever.
We're not going to go out and buy a one note from Bank of America, right. Chase, or Citibank. So I don't want your listeners. That's the big thing. Somebody called me the other day. Hey, my mortgage is with Wells Fargo. I'm like, that's great. I can't help you, because unless I can write a $50 million check, they're not going to deal with me. So we deal with a lot of regional banks, and we've bought commercial debt from some of the bigger banks, but it's mostly regional banks, stuff that are in some different states. I mean, Capital One, we bought a lot of commercial debt over the years from them and some others. But that's kind of what we do, is we try to, if we can, work with a homeowner, if they'll work with us. And that happens about 50-60% of the time. We're able to keep in the house, but other times, borrowers will just foreclose and go that route.
So they will go through the foreclosure and hightail it out of there. And then do you go in then and rehab, or you're not into that? You just take that note and resell it.
It depends on the situation. Sometimes we'll take it back and fix it up and sell it out. I don't do a lot of heavy rehabs. My best time and use is not getting bogged down into 30-60 day rehabs like Chip and Joanna Gaines, our neighbors to the north of Waco. We put a little paint and carpet cleaning off if we can. A lot of times we try to sell the property literally at the foreclosure auction so we can walk away from it.
Yeah, and then you're done. That's right. How the heck did you get started? I mean, everybody does the I'm going to flip the house. How did you get started in this component?
So it's a funny thing that you mentioned HGTV. So I graduated from college in 2001, college sweetheart. We bought our first property in primary residence back in 2002. You know, it was all excited. You know, the market was great there. We basically put nothing down, first and the second mortgage. And my realtor's like, hey, you should be a real estate investor. And we would watch HGTV and the now ex-wife at the time, like, oh yeah, I could pick up paint colors and carpet and do all this designing. And my dad owned the local hardware store growing up, so I can fix just about anything. I built houses from the ground up. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll be the landlord. Sure, I can fix this stuff. Boy, was I wrong. The market turned south here. We have a major employer that rhymes with hell. Dell, who laid off a lot of people and changed some stuff, where our property, we bought 2 more investment properties to be landlords, and they were vacants. And then I got laid off from my job in 2004, making good money. And so we went from, hey, making 6+ figures a year to trying to pay 3 mortgages. It was actually 3 firsts and 3 seconds on our private school teacher salary. So I became a deadbeat borrower, a non-performing borrower, was able to get rid of the 2 investment properties, keep our primary by doing a loan mod, and really was licking my wounds, got back into the finance industry. And a buddy of mine approached me about 2 years later that I was friends with and said, hey, I'm starting a mortgage company. Let's do this. Let's get in and have success. I was like, okay, great. So 2004, I joined the mortgage company. And I was very fortunate enough that one of the guys, the principals in the company, was a very creative real estate investor, traveling the country, speaking at these large seminars. He taught creative financing, like owner financing, wraparound mortgages, all sorts of crazy stuff. So for basically like 4 years, as I was traveling the country to these big expos and offering mortgages in the back room, I got basically a really nice apprenticeship of being able to learn from so many different investors and Bob, the main investor, that I basically learned the business. And then when everything hit the fan in 2008 with the mortgage market, I just left my mortgage company with my buddy and started buying paper and started dialing for dollars, calling all these banks and hedge funds. And over the last 11 plus years, we've made a ton of relationships. You know, thousands of banks that will send us stuff sometimes throughout the year, sometimes quarterly, sometimes monthly, sometimes just once a year. But the biggest thing that happened was you talk about Andrew Carnegie, and I think about Napoleon Hill, how Carnegie brought in Napoleon Hill and gave him an opportunity to go around and meet with all these experts about masterminding. I was sitting in Austin in end of March watching TV, and I'm a big baseball fan, and one of those commercials came on, like, oh, hot dog $5, cold beer $8, visiting every baseball park in America priceless with your son. I don't know if you remember that type
of commercial. Yes.
So I was like, that would be really cool. How would I do it? And so I've always been a proponent of, if you wanted to do something, write it down, you know, share your goals. So that's what I did. I wrote it down. I even went on to ESPN.com and figured out the baseball schedules and said, okay, if I started in Dallas on April 1st for home, you know, the home opener for the Rangers, and where I went, how long would it take me to hit? And I was like, it was like 30 weeks. And I had already, you know, I'd been doing the note business for a couple of years, 2 years, and I was, you know, sharing blogs and articles and case studies. And I suddenly, I believe in divine intervention. Suddenly, like a week after I wrote that down, my phone and email started blowing up with real estate investment clubs reaching out to me and said, hey, Scott, would you come to our meeting at some point? Would you speak? Would you allow us to use your blogs or your articles? I was like, yeah, when do you want me to come speak? And I swear to God, and my hair always stays standing up right now, and that's so goofy. The dates they wanted me to be in their cities, whether it was Houston, Dallas, New Jersey, Chicago, were all right around the same dates that I put down on the baseball schedule.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yes. Craziness. And I was like, okay, that's divine intervention. Somebody's speaking to me and that I need to do something. So I got very drastic. I was now divorced for about 2 years now. Just me and my dog. And so I sold everything in my house. I got rid of my last investment properties here in Austin because the market was taking a big hit here with it being 2010 and values dropping. So I got rid of those 2 investment properties, sold my primary, and me and the dog jumped in my Ford F-150 pickup, and we started off across the country. And what we thought would take 30 weeks, we spent over 3.5 years traveling nonstop, speaking. You know, I've hosted some, I'm in the big keynote at some big events. I spoke at the National Association of Realtors Conference, spoke at these large note conventions. You know, I spoke with about 50 different individual banks where they actually called me in to come into their bank to help them with their portfolio. A lot of it was in God's waiting room, Florida. But that's kind of how I became the note guy, just traveling, and people would come up to me and see the videos that I was doing and say, hey, aren't you the note guy? I saw you dial for dollars for like 3 hours and you got hung up like 12 times. Because this is not the easiest thing, and it's not the most tangible thing in buying a note.
Absolutely.
You know, it does control. We do look at the real estate, but it's a whole different mindset. Instead of picking up paint carpets, I actually want the people to stay in the house. My biggest bang for the buck is when we do rehab the property, keep them in for cash flow, and then sell the note off, or either let them refinance out later on. That's the biggest bang for the buck.
You just said you go in rehab. I didn't mean to interrupt you. So you, when you buy that note, if they say, yeah, we want to work with you, we want to stay here, you'll go in and put the money into the house?
No, we rehab the borrower.
So like, my misunderstanding.
No, that's okay. I mean, I'm actually putting a roof on a property right now in Flint with a borrower. So we're sometimes it makes sense for us to come in and fix it up and keep the property. But that's kind of a rare situation. For the most part, we're not buying ugly assets because we do a lot of due diligence. We like it when they're owner occupied. We'd like to try to buy something where the borrower's made some sort of payments in the last 12 to 24 months. And the beautiful thing is that when we're buying these notes, we get the whole collateral file and the loan documents so we can see the situation. If they've tried to do a loan modification or they tried to do a short sale or if they just told the bank to F off, we know what kind of route we're going to go down if we've either got a chance to try to keep them in or we've got to get our attorneys involved and start the foreclosure process.
Did you have a big bulk of money when you started this?
No, I started this. I mean, I bought a little bit here. I bought some smaller assets and just flipped them really fast. Like I get them under contract and flip it to another investor in Jacksonville or Las Vegas. Or I found an apartment deal in San Diego from Capital One. It was such a screaming deal that I was able to flip the contract for $50,000 in 24 hours. So I didn't have a lot of money because I had lost some money in some fix and flips at the time. You know, I was talking about getting rid of my last couple properties. I had to write big checks at the closing table, so I didn't have much. So I just started marketing and sharing the deals that I was doing and really an email here, a Facebook posting here, what we were focused on. And I really was just myself on my videos talking about the deals that we were working on. And, you know, luckily people started following and then people started reaching out and said, hey, I want to do that. Or they'd hear me speak at an event, come to me, hey, do you have a class? I'm like, yeah, sure, I got a class. And teach them how to do that. And they're like, oh, this seems like too much work. I'm lazy. Can I just write you a check and you invest it for me or use my money to buy a deal and we'll partner? I'm like, yeah, let's do that. So that's kind of what we have done for the most part, is just partner with other people, you know, their self-directed IRAs or cash accounts, stuff like that, to go in and find a good deal. And then we do all the heavy lifting and pay them a nice return on the back end.
So are you a numbers person? Like, is that your degree is in finance where you just see numbers? You can look and drill in and see the numbers.
Well, I've always been really good with numbers. I have a business management and marketing degree, you know, from Southwest Texas State University, which is south of Austin, Texas, now Texas State University. It used to be a big school. Part of the reason I went there is because, yeah, they had a business school, but the girls outnumber the guys 3-1 on campus. So I was pretty excited about that.
Typical reason to go to college, right? To pick a college. That's awesome.
beautiful Texas. We got a river running through the campus. It was just, awesome. I had a really good, I was a bartender through college, so I had a really great time going to school. But I've always liked numbers. I like finance. And I think I have a bit of empathy towards our borrowers, maybe a little bit more than most, because I was in their shoes back in 2002. And so that's an important thing, is I always like to give somebody a handout if I can. I had such a great, fortunate thing along the way to have 4 years in apprenticeship and then to have somebody step in and kind of guide me in the way of where I've gone the last few years. And so I like to try to help any way that I can. So we've got so many videos on. I mean, about 1,000+ videos for people to watch and learn. And we do have classes, and that's a great thing. But my biggest thing, I love seeing that light go off in people's eyes when they close their first deal, they're you know, working at a job they dislike and they want to do something different for their family and sure. Put themselves back on pace for retirement or just to have fun. That's the biggest joy. I close deals all the time, but I get the biggest joy in seeing people who don't have the business degree, they don't have the finance degree, who come in, they buy a deal, and you don't have to have a lot of money. I mean, there's a lot of money people out there, but we buy a lot of assets that are, you know, $50,000, $60,000 values that are in Ohio or Michigan or Indiana, that are great places. Now in California, that might be, for $50,000 might be the door on the garage, you know, but in other areas, it's a beautiful 3-bedroom, 2-bath, you know, 1200 square foot house that somebody's lived in for 5 or 10 years. They've taken a lot of pride in ownership, you know, and so that we love putting those people back on the right path to success.
You know, it does feel good to help people, and you're right. You know, you had this divine intervention. It was such a great story. So, you know, you've been so blessed along the way for whatever reason, right? And I believe we create our own luck. So I think you created your own luck along the way as well. But you saw the opportunities. And I think you're a nice guy. So I'm sure also people think he's a nice guy, you know, he's willing to get in there and dig in and are willing to help because you're appreciative. You're not arrogant. You're not a jerk. So, you know, I think we reap what we sow as well, mm-hmm. but it's nice that you feel that gratitude and then in turn, you know, are trying to keep people in their homes and trying to make them whole after hitting hard times. And let's face it, Scott, we've all hit hard times at one point or another. No one has escaped it. No one has lived a perfect, charmed life. So it's just nice that you're able to give back. So how are you, you know, you talk about also changing communities. How have you done that? Like, do you go in and do one particular community?
No, what happens, most people don't realize this, that if you have a foreclosure happen on your block where it actually goes back to the auction, it depreciates the whole value of the community of the block like 10 to 20 grand or more. And then if you have a vacant house there, what happens oftentimes is vacant for a while. Vandalism, you know, neighborhood kids get into it, bust it up. You have bums sometimes, or homeless will break in and steal things, vandalize. As we like to say, the copper goblins will show up, you know. And nobody wants to live in a neighborhood where there's the ghost house across the street or it's just trashed out. So that's one of the biggest things is we go in and we see these deals 6 to 12 months before they ever hit the MLS, before realtors ever see them. So we're able to go in ahead of time, really kind of find the stuff there and avoid those kind of zombie houses ever developing. Another thing you look at is when you are dealing with financial struggles as a borrower, you're stressed out. It's, you know, it's one of the biggest rifts that happen in couples, divorce. I mean, we've had, you know, we've dealt with so many borrowers, single moms, single parents, the elderly, that, you know, maybe they're in a product that they didn't understand. I mean, I as an ex-mortgage broker, I have a tendency to believe that everybody that signs on a piece of paper, you should know what you're signing on. You have to take some accountability. But there's a lot of places that have values have dropped that was out of no, you know, the borrower had no control of that. Sure. I mean, if you think about it, in 2010, we had 15 million homeowners underwater across the country. Huge amount of, you know, defaulted borrowers. We had the subprime mortgages. You know what? Those have come back. They're now, they got really original now. They're called non-prime mortgages. And there are companies doing 100% financing to people with very low credit scores in all 50 states to this day. They're all back. So we're going to have a repeat of what happened. Maybe not as extreme, but we still have roughly 3 to 4 million homeowners underwater. There's over a million people that owe twice the amount on their house than what it's actually worth. Oh. 1 in 10 homeowners right now, as of today, 2019, 1 out of 10 homeowners is at least 30 days behind their mortgage as it sits right now.
Oh, that's terrible.
It is. So the thing is that we love to do is, as I say, try to come in, buy what we can in an area that makes sense, and try to reach out as fast as possible. You know, what can we do? Let's create a win-win scenario. Last thing I want to do is evict somebody or foreclose and throw them out on the ground. So we often go in and offer, you know, hey, you can't make a payment. We can't come to one of our tenant arrangements. Well, then let me give you some cash to walk. Let's have you sign over the property and walk away. And then if we come in and keep the property clean, that keeps the values high, maybe increases a little bit. You know, people aren't dealing with damaged homes or ugly homes out there. So that's one of the things that we do in helping, you know, borrowers. You know, sometimes people just need a hand up, you know. That's all they need.
When you do that and you buy them out, right, obviously lower them for them what you purchased the note for, do you then just turn around and sell that note for what you're holding so you make the profit? Because it's still, you're making money, but somebody is still getting a deal because it's undervalued for what it is at the marketplace. And at least people are walking away with some cash in their pocket to either go and rent or buy another home, whatever it might be.
Yeah, it's mostly rental stuff because it's hard to get a mortgage if you've got a mortgage later too on your history in the last 24 months. But, you know, we've done things where we paid people's deposits of their apartments or at least gave them something to walk. Because it makes sense for us financially too, instead of having to drag out 9 months to foreclose and say, like, sure, Illinois or Ohio, I'd rather give that $5,000 to the bar and let them walk. And now they've got this, you know, $150,000 mortgage and a house that's only worth $100 off their back.
That's,
you know,
right.
They've moved on. And then go out and try to do, you know, find, you know, if they hire a credit repair company, they can, you know, get those lates removed. And then they can, you know, kind of explore the pride of home ownership again, or the dream of home ownership, and going from there. So I'll give you one story. It's kind of a fun thing.
Sure.
We've got time. We got a list sent to us. We're looking at buying this portfolio. And there's a borrower in South Beloit, Illinois. You know, not the biggest house family owed $65,000. The house was maybe worth $35,000. It was kind of rural. They'd lived in the property for 18 years, raised their kids. The husband had gotten sick and had a heart attack, so he was out of work. Their value had gone up, so what did they do? They took out they refinanced, pulled some equity out. And then, of course, the market dropped. And so we're looking at this, and I can see the notes in the file that the homeowner had been trying, her name's Sheila, had been trying to do a loan mod for 4 years, and her loan had been sold 4 times. Nobody reached out to her. And so I said, well, okay, this looks appealing. So we bought the note, and all honesty, we paid $12,000 for the mortgage. House was worth $35,000. She owed $65,000. Okay. So we see the loan mod. I call her up and I said, well, hey, I'm just calling to let you know that your mortgage has been sold. You're gonna get some letters. I'm now the owner of your mortgage. And you could hear this despair on the other side. She's like, oh man. Cause she'd been trying to modify the loan for 4 years. And literally the file was like a foot deep of her sending in documents. And that's not a fun thing.
No.
And I said, okay, let me ask you some questions. Can you start making your $400 a month payment right now each month? And she's like, yes. I said, okay, can you bring like $5,000 to the table? You know, she's like, well, I don't have $5,000 right now. I said, well, can you bring $2,500 and then another $2,500 or $200 extra a month for, you know, 12 months? She's like, I can do that, definitely. I said, okay, great. You'll bring that $5,000 to the table and start paying your payments on time. This is what I'm going to do for you, Sheila. I'm going to drop your interest rate from the 8.5% to 0%, so that every penny you pay goes towards principal and interest. So instead of taking another 30 years to pay off this mortgage, you'll have it paid off in 6.5 years. Yeah. And then, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, you pay on time, we'll drop the balance of the 60 down to roughly the value of your property in 12 months, whether it's 30 or 35 or 40, we'll forgive you some principal there. And she's like, no way. I'm like, I'm serious here. You can go talk to my attorney who's not too far from you. Sure enough, she went in, her husband went in with them, and I was told that they cried at the closing table. They couldn't believe it. So we were making money. I mean, we got $5,000 on a $12,000 investment. We were getting $600 a month. I mean, I was going to have my investment paid back in the first 12 months. So anything over that was gravy for me. Well, it's kind of another little tangent story. About 6 months goes by, and I get a letter in the mail, and Sheila and her husband had 3 daughters, and their eldest daughter was pregnant at the time we did this. Well, she had a baby, a boy, so they named it Carson after me. We helped them out. So I don't have any kids of my own, but we've got some kids that are named after me out there, some borrowers. So that's kind of I always think of that story as just it's a heartwarming thing when we can really help. And that's, you know, that's really changing not only one generation, but a second generation out
and,
there.
And here's the thing. You made money. Making money is not a bad thing, right? So you made a really nice money off of that deal. They got to stay in their house, and they paid it off within the 6 years, so they owned it free and clear after that?
She is within her last 12 or 24 months of paying it off right now.
Done. So instead of looking at being upside down, 30-year mortgage, what are we going to do? I give her credit. See, again, you create your own luck. I give her credit for not just saying, you know what, F all of you, I'm out of here, walking away. Now what? Now you have an empty property. She tried to work with the bank because people hit hard times doesn't mean that they're dirtbags. Everybody hits hard times. So you were a godsend. And I love that they named the kid after you. That's very cute. That's so cute. That's awesome. Okay, for the listeners, great story. Here's a way for people to make some money, right? And help along the way. I don't know about you, but that feels so good to be able to make a living and help and serve, right? Serve others. What are some change tips or tips that you share with the audience listening and the folks listening on your podcast?
So the nice thing that we share is we share with people how to raise capital. That's one of the biggest things that people need to do this is to raise capital. And there's $7 trillion in retirement funds sitting out there making nothing, you know, making very little. And so that's a great thing to look at. Hey, look, there's plenty of investors in your market, other markets out there. If you just know what you're doing and talk about the types of deals that you're doing, it often becomes really easy to raise capital. A lot of our students are like, that's their biggest intimidating factor when they get started, and they realize it's a lot easier than they expect because they're networking and doing things. But another thing is that I'm not the guy that's making the phone calls to the banks to the borrowers. There are vendors out there that can help you do that. You actually, most of the time, people have too big a heart and shouldn't be calling because they'll let the borrower kind of drag on and, you know, take an inch and they'll take them, you know, give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Absolutely.
So you've got to be very strict You know, we're very, very strict. Say, hey, we need you to do this. We're glad to help you, but you've got to do A, B, and C before we'll do, you know, D. So a lot of times it's best for people to have their servicing companies, which are people, they have, you know, clients, stuff like that. They're calling for, you know, borrowers all across the country all throughout the week to kind of really make sure. Then they've got, you know, they've got to read, you know, there's fair debt collection practices laws you got to stick by. That's why service is really good. And then, of course, you know, we have attorneys in every state that handle the paperwork. And if we do have to foreclose, they handle the process. So this is a business that you can do from anywhere for the most part. I mean, I rarely buy anything in Austin, Texas, where home is, because it's overpriced. And it's, we don't see that much in default because it's a, you know, skyrocketing city as far as value. So sure. I'm buying across the country. I've bought notes when I've been on cruise ships over in Europe about a month ago. I was traveling abroad. We closed on a couple transactions and we're able to negotiate some loan modifications and keep some borrowers in our houses while I was on a cruise ship in the middle of Spain or in the ocean. So there's, if you've got 10 to 15, 10 to 20 hours, you know, you're looking to do something on the side, this is something that you can do. It's not a get rich quick scheme by any means. It's a get wealthy thing, but you've got to put the work in.
Sure.
And honestly, I love this industry because there's not as much competition. Yes, HGTV, flip or flop, flip this house, has really brought a lot of investors out, but they're overpaying for assets for the most part because they don't have the education. They don't know what to do. And then the last thing you want to do is overbuy and over rehab a property to something that you can't sell and lose money on. That leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth.
Yeah. And the other thing with the flipping is you have to hold the property and pay the taxes and you have to have electric and all those things. So you need quite a bit of money up front to pay all of those things. And then if you're lucky with weather, et cetera, that you could get it done in 3 months or whatever that is. Otherwise, if it drags on and the market does shift, you could be left holding, you know, rotten eggs, so to speak, right?
Yeah, it also comes down to your financing, money costs. If you're not using their own money, there are hard money lenders that will lend on real estate.
Sure.
That are going to be charging you, you know, 10 to 12%, which is not bad if you're in a deal for less than a year, but you get beyond a year, that eats up a big chunk of your profit. So you got to be careful that way.
Absolutely. That's why. Do you work with people that they have the assets and they come to you and they say, hey, listen, I have $200,000 in an IRA. What do we do? Do you guide them, work with them, use their money? What, you know?
Well, yeah, we do a couple of things. If they want to do this themselves, we've got classes that we teach. You know, we have a thing called the Note Buying Blueprint, which is about as close to an A to Z step-by-step kind of training program for people. It's not one of these training programs, oh, yes, sign up for $99 and we're going to charge you $25,000 for it. It's not like that.
Okay.
So if people go through that, we have a lot of students have a lot of success going through that because we give a lot of nuggets. We give a lot. We share the vendors, tell you who to do, what to say, what not to say, who to call. If they want to take a little bit more advanced, they can come into Austin and spend a couple of days with me and I'll coach them one-on-one. And then, you know, obviously continue to coach them along the way. But some people like that, like, yeah, I'm just too busy. You know, I'd rather, you know, get a decent return on my IRA. You know, let's talk.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting. This is very personal. It's kind of funny because my husband started getting into the flipping of the real estate, which never happened. But we do have rental properties in my IRA. I do a self-directed IRA.
Nice.
So it's awesome. We're getting a great return on that. We have the property people taking care of it. We live in New Jersey. I have one in Cleveland, Ohio, and one in Buffalo, New York. Again, they're not like New Jersey real estate. Forget it. You can't touch it. So these are very inexpensive, but they're giving me a nice return. And he is actually losing his job. Company got bought out, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, con, we'll get, you know, this extra money from my 401k and I'll be able to do a self-directed IRA. So I think that he needs to talk to you because I think this is an easier way than buying properties, flipping, et cetera, et cetera. And I like the idea, though, of also for us having the real estate with the income coming in. Right now, it's going into my IRA, which is awesome because we just keep buying properties with that income. But when I retire, we could keep those incomes coming in. I don't even have to touch my assets. So, that's kind of our game plan. But now it's so funny, right? Opportunity knocks. He's losing his job. When he came home and told me, everybody's like, oh, my God, are you freaking out? I'm like, no, this is a great opportunity. Are you kidding? He's brilliant. You know, he didn't lose his job because he didn't do a good job, right? The industry is what it is. And I think this might be the ticket, Scott, for him to figure out what he wants to do. He's got a package. So I'm telling you, we're fine.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's opportunity knocking. So I'm going to have him call you.
You know what? I'm glad. Let me know. I'll be glad to throw you guys into my online training for free at no cost for you. So
you're a love.
Because it's just, you know, there's, one of the things we do is if somebody's, I don't know if you've got any past or present military first responders on there, we like to compliment those guys and gals into our workshops too, because they've given so much
Absolutely.
Of their time. So
Absolutely.
First responders, nurses, police, firemen, EMT, and then anybody that's a past or present military, we compliment as a way to give back to help people out too.
I love meeting people like you. I'm sorry, I'm past the age of bearing children, but if I was, I would name one after you, Scott. That ship has sailed, my friend.
All right. That's all right. But you mentioned the markets there. Ohio is one of my favorite markets to buy in because there's so much inventory. I'm not now. Cleveland, you had to be a little careful. Cleveland buying notes or taking rough properties back in Cleveland because the city requires you to put up a big bond there for it. But if you've already bought a turnkey rental, you're above that. You're golden. Okay. Yeah. Buffalo. New York is one of the longest foreclosure states in the country, so we have a tendency to avoid that. But I have bought in Buffalo, Rochester, because the cost of property up there is so cheap. And when you compare it to the rent factors and the rent that's coming in, if you're buying a rental, it's a great thing there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love it. We could talk all day. We're out of time. So I hope, guys, looking for a little bit extra income, you're transitioning jobs, you know, like my husband's going to be in the coming months. This might be just what the doctor ordered. So, again, opportunity knocks. Are you listening? Please go to Scott's website. It's weclosenotes.com. If you have questions specifically for Scott, go to scott@weclosenotes.com. And, Scott, you have a free book that you said?
Yeah, I do. I have a free book. They go to noteblueprint.com/free book. They'll get a copy of my How to Buy Real Estate at 40% Off, How to Break into the Secret World of Note Investing.
Awesome.
It's usually $19.99 on Amazon, but they can get it for free. Or they can email me at scott@weclosenotes.com. We'll send over an ebook version of that as
That's
well.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I love giving free things away. And again, this is the next step. If somebody is intrigued by this, read the book. See if it's something that makes sense to you. Because if it doesn't make sense, then maybe it's not the right thing for you. So thank you so much for the information, for the free gift, and just for your time, Scott. You really are a delight to talk with as well. You have a nice personality, which makes the show fun for the listeners, you know?
Yeah, well, we try to. There's nothing worse than hearing somebody drone on like Charlie Brown's teach.
Exactly.
The biggest thing I can leave somebody with is, hey, just be yourself. God knows we have enough fakers out there, but there's only one of you. So be yourself, and you'll be a lot happier when you can be yourself in your own skin, right?
That is so true, so true. Thank you again. Guys, if my partner and I are still offering that free communication style assessment at wisdomdecoded.com, right on that landing page, fill it out, get the report, learn about how you're communicating. You learn about your strengths and your challenges. I don't know about you, but if I understand my challenges, at least I know how to attack that and work on that and become better. So again, it's wisdomdecoded.com, free communication style assessment. Scott, it has been a true honor and pleasure to interview you. I can't remember the last time I had so many laughs with someone, and you really are just a delight to deal with. So thank you again, and thank you for giving so much vital information to my listeners. I do appreciate that.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been an honor.
A real pleasure. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that this whole thing about change that we talk about week to week, it's easier than you think. And I hope my guests like Scott help you uncover maybe the next change that's going to impact your life. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I thank you all. I thank my guests. I wish you all a wonderful, inspired week. And check out Scott's stuff. It might be your next adventure. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.